This is Bill Benica, and this is Talk is Cheap. Exactly 11 years and 20 minutes ago, the first plane hit the Twin Towers.
Where were you when the world stopped turning that September day? Out in the yard, your wife and children working on some stage in L.A. Did you stand there in shock at the sight of that black smoke rising against that blue sky? Did you shout out in anger and fear for your neighbor? Or did you just sit down and cry? Did you weep for the children who lost their dear loved ones? Pray for the ones who don't know? Did you rejoice for the people who walked from the rubble and sob for the ones left below? Did you burst out in pride for the red, white, and blue? The heroes who died just doing what they do. Did you look up to heaven for some kind of answer and look at yourself and what really matters? I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things He gave us, and the greatest is love. Where were you when the world stopped turning that September day? Teaching a class full of innocent children, driving down some cold interstate. Did you feel guilty 'cause you're a survivor? In a crowded room, did you feel alone? Did you call up your mother and tell her you loved her? Did you dust off that Bible at home? Did you open your eyes, hope it never happened? Close your eyes and not go to sleep. Did you notice the sunset, first time in ages, speak to some stranger on the street? Did you lay down at night and think of tomorrow, go out and buy you a gun? Did you turn off that violent old movie you're watching? Turn on Isle of Lucy reruns. Did you go to a church and hold hands with some stranger? Stand in line and give your own blood? Did you just stay home and cling tight to your family? Thank God you had somebody to love. I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things He gave us, and the greatest is love. I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things He gave us, and the greatest is love. The greatest is love. The greatest is love. Where were you when the world stopped turning that September day?
This is Talk is Cheap. with Bill Benica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Hello, Central Coast. Charter Telephone is now available in your neighborhood. And now's the time to enjoy the savings for yourself.
Hello, simplicity.
There's no new equipment to buy. You use the same phone and phone jacks. And, of course, you keep the same home phone number.
Hello, savings.
Charter Telephone includes unlimited nationwide calling, so it's just as easy to call across town as it is across the country.
Hello, value.
Our plans come with 10 of the most popular features, including caller ID and call waiting. It's like your current phone service in every way, only better. And when you bundle Charter Telephone with Charter Digital Cable and high-speed internet, the savings only get better with one low monthly bill. So what are you waiting for? Answer the call. Charter Telephone is here. Find out more at charter.com or call 1-866-608-4134. Service is not available in all areas. Unlimited long-distance calling includes U.S., Canada, and Puerto Rico. Restrictions apply. Offer ends 12/31/07. Call 1-866-608-4134 for details.
How does a little shoe store like Mike's and the Slow Promenade seem so big? They start by taking assortment to a new level. Not just any assortment, but the brands people really want and the styles people really love. Mike, Annie, Shu Shun, and their entire crew at Mike's really know their stuff, and they're happy to make it work for you. The right people, the right place, all the time. You'll like Mike's and find what you're looking for in men's and women's shoes. Every time you hear this ad, you're just one pair away from the perfect number of shoes. Mike's Shoes at Southside Promenade.
You'll like Mike's, I like Mike, and you'll like Mike's because I got the great shoes. You're with Bill Benica. This is Talk is Cheap, 1340 KYNS, your news station. We're going to do our highlights in history and our birthdays and stuff, and the obvious is September 11, 2001. On this date in 1777, during the American Revolution, forces under General George Washington were defeated by the British in the Battle of Brandywine. O. Henry's thought for the day, each of us, when our day's work is done, must seek our ideal, whether it be love or pinnacle or lobster or Newberg or the sweet silence of the musty bookshelves. I'll take the lobster. Birthday's day, comedian Tom Dressen is 73. Singer Harry Connick Jr. is 45. Happy birthday to them and to you for yours.
Happy birthday to you.
Here's what's shaking on CalcoastNews.com right now. And first up, the transient forced his way into a Cayucas home at 2:30 today. This is in the morning. While three women hid in a bedroom and called 911, Richard Lugo was allegedly pounding on the victim's front door, claiming to have a gun. He then broke into the house and began damaging property. Deputies arrived to find Lugo in the front yard of the residence. They arrested him for burglary and felony vandalism, booked him into San Luis Obispo County Jail, and bail was set at $50,000. Can't do that, Cayucas. It's not allowed. Story two. Eight trustees of the California State University System are interviewing candidates for a chancellor over the next 2 days. The new boss of the 23-campus system, one of which is Poly, may be among those now being interviewed by the committee. Charles B. Reed announced in May that he would retire from the position after 14 years at the helm of the America's largest public four-year university system. Officials said the selection could come in a month. Reed, who received an annual salary of $421.5 grand and a $30,000 a year supplement from the University Foundation. Members of the selection committee have begun hearing from union representatives, teachers, politicians, and others about issues considered important: job criteria, salary, term limits, etc. There's no question that this is a crucial role in the scheme of things in California, Trustee William Hawk said. He's the chairman of this selection committee. But with the and he said this to the Los Angeles Times. Other trustees appointed to the committee are Roberta Achenberg, faculty trustee Bernadette Shane, Deborah Farrar, Kenneth Fong, Stephen Glazer, student trustee Jillian Riddell, and board chairman Robert Linscheid, I believe. All those, I'm hoping. A university student has been sentenced to 4 years in prison for the Avila Beach crash that killed two of his friends. Evan Green of Chico was driving on Avila Beach Drive near Cave Landing Road when he lost control of his vehicle. The automobile flipped several times, went off the road through a fence, and landed on the Avila Beach Resort golf course. He was driving without a license. He had a blood alcohol level 3 times the legal limit. 2 of the 3 passengers in the car, 21-year-old Marcus Alex Nelson of Castro Valley, 21-year-old Aaron Beaver of Eureka, were killed. Jacob Zimmer, 21, of Castro Valley, was transported to Sierra Vista Regional Medical Center with major injuries. Green pleaded no contest to 2 counts of gross vehicular manslaughter while intoxicated and apologized to the courtroom. The attorney for a San Luis Obispo firefighter on trial for being a man during a wedding after party is claiming his client was defending himself against a drunk aggressor. In June 2011, John Ryan Mason allegedly beat Jory Brigham unconscious in the bathroom after an 8-month rift stemming from claims the firefighter was having an affair with a local policeman's wife. Mason had no injuries, while Brigham had 17 fractures in his face. Mason's attorney, Chris Cassiola, said a day of heavy drinking gave Brigham the courage to confront Mason. Alcohol is critical in this case, Chris Cassiola said in his opening statement, according to the Tribune. We all know what it does to a person, liquid courage or forgetfulness. In her opening statement, Deputy District Attorney Christy Amell said it was a case of rage, opportunity, and revenge. Cassiola contended Brigham is pointing a finger at Mason because he is planning on filing a civil lawsuit if his client is convicted. Mason is charged with felony assault with great bodily injury and battery with serious bodily harm. And that's up to the minute on CalCoastNews.com. I'm Bill Benneker reporting.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
Hello. It's 18 minutes after 12 o'clock right now. Your Bill. I have the phones. I'm opening the phone lines today. I just am because it's September 11th. I thought it would. I read there was a commentary I read in the news that said that maybe after the 10-year anniversary of the event of September 11th last year, maybe we. This is what it was suggested. I think is what they were saying. But maybe we should start to put it behind us. And I say this. Today, one soldier, active duty, so will kill themselves in Afghanistan. Since we were in Afghanistan as a direct result of 9/11, 1,980 Americans have been killed, 17,519 have been wounded. I don't think it's something we should forget at all. And I'm going to get on the phone right now and say hi to, hello.
Howdy, Mr. Bill. How are you, sir?
Hi, Mike. I'm okay, sir.
Gary.
Gary, I'm sorry, Gary. I was hearing a funny noise and it distracted me.
I think Mikey calls you a Billy Boy.
I know. I apologize. I'm sorry.
He's younger than either one of us.
No, it doesn't matter. I should call you Sally.
First, let me say, I'm a retired fireman.
Yeah.
But I've never met Mason.
Oh. Okay.
Never met the man.
Yeah.
I might have met him at somebody's retirement dinner or something. He was hired after I was retired. But I think he's being treated very unfairly. And largely because of press pressure, media pressure.
If
he was a construction worker, the DA would have just not opened charges. The witnesses say the other guy came into the men's room to confront him, got physical, and got his ass kicked.
Here's the thing. I mean, this is, how do you say this?
And the witnesses say he quit smacking him as soon as the guy quit trying to fight.
Here's what I have to tell you honestly. And this is just my feeling. The guy had 17 fractures in his face. Now, I don't know how those fractures occurred, but it would seem to me that it wasn't a matter of just, it happened type of thing. It was part of a regular fight. I don't see that at all, but I could be wrong. I don't know. I don't know really if it's because he's a fireman.
There are men walking the streets today who can and know they can put your lights out with one hit, but most of us, it takes 3 or 4 good ones to do the job.
I just don't know why. I don't know, though. I'm still not sure I understand why you feel that this happened because the guy was a firefighter.
I'm not suggesting it happened because of that. I'm saying it's getting all this.
Oh, it's been reported.
How many people do you think get in bar fights and it never hits the paper?
Well, you're right. I think I'll agree with you. I think that it's getting more attention than the average person would get because firefighters, policemen, radio talk show people are public figures. You're in the public. You're a part of the public thing, persona. And so I think it does get more attention. I think if I'd been the guy getting my butt kicked in the bar, I'm sure somebody would talk about it in the paper. You know, it's that kind of thing. But I see what you're saying. Is there more attention paid?
Remember, the DA didn't even want to take it to court, the ADA that had the case.
No, I understand that.
And I'm not sure how much to trust the Tribune's quotes, because I've seen some pretty amazing quotes. Basically, he was going to present himself a hell of a lot better in court than the victim, who was the aggressor. I'm not suggesting that the other guy made a good decision when he decided to go into that bathroom and fight and have a punch out. That was not a good decision, but alcohol will do that.
Well, yeah, there's no question.
He'd been drinking all day.
Wheel. Well, this will be interesting. No, it'll be interesting to see, how this evidence is presented. I mean, that's going to be sort of a key to this whole thing.
If the guy drove a loader at the quarry, we'd have never heard a word about it.
No, I agree with you, and I told you why, I think. I agree with that, but because the guy is a fireman, that's why it's an issue.
I'm sorry to get off onto that, because today's date calls for much more important conversation.
No, it's all right. There's all kinds of conversation that can occur on any given day.
I was all
day.
Conflicted this morning about whether to put the flag up or put it half-staff. I know the president has recommended half-staff, but the president thinks we should run our flag at half-staff anyway.
Well, here's the thing, though. I hang my flag. I hang, on the porch. I have it sideways. So I just put it up and say, okay.
You got the stars on the left, right?
Yeah. So I can't. yes, sir, I do. But I can't put it half staff, so I just put it up, so that's fine. But the president has asked that people put their flags at half staff today and memorial for the victims. You know,
my flagpole is a little too close to the If I was had a thing where I fly the flag every day, that would be one thing. But my flagpole is too close to the house anyway. Put a half flap, it's going to flap into the roof.
Well, my flag flaps against the window all day, but I just do say, fine, that's the way life is. That's where I can put the flag, so that's right.
Worst things have happened, like 11 years ago today.
You know, I think the incredible shock of, to this day have really not said, I haven't gotten over it. I haven't put it behind me in a way. I think the incredible imagining of 3,000 people in two buildings dying, and then all the people that were there, the first responders, everything. It's just it's beyond remarkable, and it's something that I think will live in our consciousness forever. I don't see how you're ever going to get out of your head. And like I said, when I read this article, I think it was I'm not sure, it may have been an ABC News site, but anyway, but they said, well, maybe we should start to put this behind us. And like I said, we're still in Afghanistan today, this very day, as of this very day, we're in Afghanistan
and
because of what happened on 9/11.
Demographic, Al Qaeda was only one of many terrorist organizations who want to who feel they are required.
Right.
The later chapters of the Quran. It's pretty apparent that Muhammad had gotten really grumpy. the first 80% of that book is kind of something that everybody could live with,
Mm-hmm.
But the last few chapters, he gets really, I think he's a little older than he shouldn't have. I don't know.
You were still on active duty, right? You were still a fireman?
No, I was retired for about 6 months when that happened. I was actually driving up I-5. I used to have that weekly run to Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even hear about this because I was sleeping. And my wife woke me up after the second plane hit.
Right.
My wife phoned me up. We just bought a new truck, and I had an appointment with the shop in Vancouver to put a radio and a CB in it.
Uh-huh.
And if there's, driving a truck is pretty boring, but man, with no radio and no CB, it is
really boring.
Real boring.
Well,
and so I stopped at Wheeler Ridge and washed it for an hour.
Well, I said yesterday, I mentioned when the first, I was called by the radio station when the first plane hit, because I wasn't watching television. And so I turned it on and they just reran this picture of the first plane hitting. And I think I'm accurate in saying that most of us at the time thought, how could the plane not miss the World Trade Center? I mean, I think that we didn't know. We didn't imagine, I don't think, after the first plane hit, it was terrorism. I don't think anybody did until that second plane hit. Or yes. And then let me see something. No, because
you weren't at war with anybody.
Here's the thing: we started. There was phone calls starting. You know, people starting to make phone calls on this on the second plane to you know the relatives and stuff. So it had started to get out this word that something was very wrong, but it still was sort of incomprehensible. And I'll go back to what's the guy's name? Michael Moore. Michael Moore that does the movies.
Yeah, he did.
Fahrenheit 9/11.
Yeah.
To this day, I'm going to say this. I think that it was totally inappropriate for him to criticize President Bush, saying, well, he just sat there looking dumb while and read to the kids. We have no notion what the Secret Service was putting together to protect the president.
They were putting together an unplanned move.
Yeah, really. So I don't. That criticism to me was just totally foolish.
What did he supposed to do? Jump up and say, "Oh my God!" and run out of the room?
Yeah, really. No, really.
That'd be a leadership.
Yeah. No, I just think that was inappropriate. I think that that's exactly. They probably told him.
We had people suggesting he should have flown immediately to New York.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's just what those people needed was a presidential
visit.
Have you been in a city where there's a presidential convoy going through town?
No, but I've been in.
It's unbelievable.
I've been in L.A. when they've had dignitaries, and it was just a nightmare.
Yeah, I didn't realize they shut down interstates. Nothing to it.
Yeah. Now, here's another thing that's going on. This is 9/11, but speaking of shutting things down and being really weird, I think it would have been better if they had just built a new museum right by the airport and put the space shuttle in there. Instead, they're cutting down all the trees on the route to this space museum.
This obviously had to be a government project, correct?
Boy, this is absolutely absurd to me. So then they say, well, okay, we're going to plant twice as many trees. It's going to be better. Yeah, in 50 years. I mean, I don't understand this at all. I don't get why we would do such a thing, but there it is. It's happening, so what are you going to do?
Well, they can be fairly sure that the shuttle won't be taken away from that museum. It won't be easily done because those new trees will have grown up, and you know it's going to be a huge expense. I guess
I really don't think we were going to steal it, even if it was down there by the airport. I think it was pretty safe. I know the airport area is kind of shaky, but I still think it would have been safe down there.
The person most famous for making the observation wasn't a government employee, but it applies to the government completely, and that is that when you don't have to ask what things cost, it's amazing the options that open up.
Yeah, really. Exactly right.
You don't have to, you know, other people's money.
Gary, I thank you for calling today, sir.
Well, Mr. Bill, God rest their souls.
Yes, sir. I agree. Thank you.
Be well.
Greetings, fellow travelers and fellow students. This is the Good Doctor. I love this time of year. All those fresh-faced young Cuesta and Poly kids, so full of life and other effervescent fluids. Takes me back to my old college days at Boyle Green University, then my master's in red beans from Rice, and my doctorate from Oklahoma State. I'm here to impart an important lesson to all you new students who won't find it in a textbook. Number one, your mama ain't here no more, and she ain't gonna cook you no homemade breakfast. Number two, the Bon Ton Creole Cafe has the best homemade breakfast in town and serves it till 2 p.m. And three, Bon Ton Creole Cafe loves you so much, just text the word Gator right now to 68255 and get a free fried green tomato appetizer, courtesy of the Bon Ton Creole Cafe, where we're not your mama, but until you head home with that sack of dirty laundry, we're all you got. 1000 Olive Street, San Louisiana.
Fairy residence, Tooth speaking. Sorry, there's no credit fairy here. What's that? He magically raises your credit score? Yeah, there's no credit fairy. But you can improve your credit by paying bills on time and keeping your credit card balances low. Money under your pillow? Sorry, kids only.
There's no magic to improving your credit, but there is help, and it's free. Go to creditfairy.org. Brought to you by the Consumer Bankers Foundation, the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights Education Fund, and the Ad Council.
Veer to the left and fly directly into the South Tower.
Today we've had a national tragedy. Two airplanes have crashed into the World Trade Center in an apparent terrorist attack on our country.
Looking back.
Second building just exploded.
All the memories.
It's a horrible, horrible tragedy.
The dance we shared beneath the stars.
The building was so weakened,
for a moment,
it just collapsed.
All the world was right. How could I have known that that you'd ever say goodbye. And now I'm glad I didn't know the way it all would end, the way it all would go.
There was smoke everywhere, people were jumping out the window.
Our lives are better left to chance. I could have missed the pain, but I'd have had to miss the day.
We do not yet know how many people have been killed or injured.
Holding you,
the number will be high.
I held everything for a moment. Wasn't I king? But if I'd only know how the king would fall.
Anything that can be done is being done at this point.
And who's to say? You know I might have changed it all. And now I'm glad I didn't know the way it all would end, the way it all would go. Our lives are better left to chance. I could have missed the pain, but I'd have had to miss the dance. It's my life. It's better left to chance. I could have missed the pain, but I'd have had to miss the day.
Both trade towers, where thousands of people work, on this day, Tuesday, have now been attacked and destroyed. Landscape of New York City has just been changed, and one has to assume that thousands of lives have been extinguished.
Here we go back. This is Talk is Cheap on 1340 KYNS, your news station. Thanks for joining me today. I do have the phone lines open in case you'd like to buzz in. Our phone number is 786-2578. That's 786-2578 or 1-866-937-1340, toll free. 1-866-937-1340. I'm going to tell you a story here that's on CNN. As a matter of fact, when we think about today, and I said to you that our active duty and our wounded servicemen and everybody that's involved in this thing and has been for 11 years, you know, what does it really, what does it all mean? And to give you an idea, if you'll go to CNN.com on your own computer and look at the picture of the wounded veteran that's in the part of this story right here, he lost both legs and an arm. And here's what happened, though. This is so this is supposed to have a happy ending here, this story, as happy as it can be. While serving on assignment in Afghanistan, October 23rd, 2010, Marine Corporal Juan Dominguez landed on a buried bomb after slipping down an embankment and lost both of his legs and his right arm in the explosion. On the way to the hospital, he prayed that if it was God's will, then take me now. He was at peace with losing his life in that moment, but it was not his time to die. As the 28-year-old veteran recovers, he often tells people not to be sad because he'd do it again for his country. The Taliban's purpose was to kill me, but I survived, he said. Dominguez has spent months undergoing multiple surgeries and grueling physical and occupational therapy sessions since that life-changing October day. To help aid in his recovery, the Stephen Siller Tunnel to Towers Foundation and its partner, the Gary Sinise Foundation, are donating a new smart home for him to share with his wife, Alexis, and his 9-year-old daughter, Victoria. Dominguez and his family received the house on September 11th today. I consider this foundation like a part of my family, Dominguez said. They have taken great care of me, and with no strings attached, I couldn't have asked for more. The home is in the reserve at Paseo del Sol community in Temecula. It's especially built for him to lead as independent lifestyle as possible. Home's features include kitchen cabinets and shelves that are lower for easy access to items and elevator doors and stuff that are open automatically. Our team has worked with our subcontractors and vendors to create this thing. Anyway, but so this was a foundation that was besides the Gary Sinise Foundation. The other foundation was established in the name of a firefighter that lost his life in 9/11. So a pretty amazing story. Here's a guy with a big smile on his face. If you click to the story, it's a big smile on the guy's face. Before you click to that thing, it's kind of gut-wrenching to tell you the truth. Right. Other things in our world today. There's stuff going on, that's for sure. This is the burial. Judge Burial Barber has been trying to decide in the Disney Myers case how many trials he's going to allow. I mean, you know, they wanted five. But he said that's not going to happen. So anyway, he said the murder trial may be split to two juries. It looks like it's headed that way. Decision is set for October 2nd. And so Judge LaBarbera said that he is inclined to have two separate juries. One jury would be for one defendant and the other for the remaining defendants, because I believe one defendant has already rolled over and pleaded guilty. So that would make sense in its own way, I would think. This is I don't understand this. Can I be honest? I don't understand. I don't get it. It's like it's weird. This headline to me and the story that follows doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. It says panel finds ovarian cancer tests ineffective for the healthy. Well, of course, if you don't have ovarian cancer, then they're not going to find it. If you don't have lots of things, they're not going to find it when they look for it, and that's why you want to be tested for it. Huh? Anyway, that's the story, and it goes on. It goes on and on, and there's more story to it about, you know, guess what? If you don't have ovarian cancer and you get tested for it, they're not going to find it. Glad we had that story today. Polly had outlines goals for this year. President Armstrong tells staff he aims to raise graduation rates, seek funding. State funding has declined to $83 million from $150 million in the past 4 years, Armstrong said. The college faced an additional $14.5 million cut if Governor Jerry Brown's initiative is not approved by voters in November. Now, here's a – speaking of college and what's going on around here, this is, I thought, a very, very unusual tale here. Let me get it for you. Okay. This is the State Community College Board okays a sweeping reform. And so this is, affects every community college. And so it says the governing board of the California Community Colleges on Monday approved historic statewide registration policies that favor students who have a specific educational plan and have completed orientation assessment tests. What's interesting about this is, so the community college is no longer going to be a community college. It's going to be university prep. Because you won't be able to take finger painting and basket weaving and all that stuff anymore at community college. And you have to have a specific goal of where you're going as far as your education. Let's get on the phone and say hi today. Hello.
Hey, Billy boy. How you doing?
Hi, Mikey. I call you Gary because I call him Mike, so I'll call you Gary.
All right. That's, you know, fair enough.
How are you today, sir?
As well as can be expected.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you one question to start off with?
Yeah.
Because maybe it is me, but what were you doing when you saw that first plane or the second plane hit into the towers?
Well, here's what happened. I was, you know, I worked 3 to 5 at KBC. I'm pretty sure I worked 3 to 5. And so I was just sitting there mesmerized by the whole thing, just watching it, you know, and just horrified by the fact these two things collapsed, and plus the fact that, you know, planes had been flown into them. I think I had the feeling everybody else had watching the thing. What was interesting, though, this was I to this day, I'll tell you something that happened that I thought is like, what, are you serious? Are you serious? So Dave Congleton and I, Dave was on the air before me, so Dave Cong and I took phone calls. We just took phone calls and let people say whatever they felt. We didn't discuss what they felt, we just took phone calls and let people say however they felt. Now, some of the people that called said, well, maybe we did something wrong that, you know, that made them want to do this to us, you know.
I remember that.
Okay, but here's the point, though. Here's the point. We didn't say, oh, you're right. Dave never said, oh, you're right. I never said, oh, you're right. We just let people talk. Because
right.
It didn't make any sense to really have a discussion about something we hardly knew anything about as of that time. So a guy comes in at 5 o'clock when I'm about to leave, and I said, can I help you? And he goes, yeah, I just want you to see this copy of an email I sent to Rush Limbaugh talking about what kind of weirdos that Dave and I were, because, you know, we didn't criticize people that called and said that. I go, well, I'm Bill Benica. Thanks for that. I appreciate that. Bye. Like, what? Are you kidding? You know, it just, it was so inappropriate. It was absolutely inappropriate, but that's life. These things happen.
Well, the reason that I ask is because I could have this flipped around in my head or something, but I remember that this happened in the morning time because I remember watching it on Charter on the Channel 5 news station in the morning.
But it happened, actually, the first plane hit at 11:46 our time, 8:46 New York time.
No, reverse that. 8:46 New York time, 5:46 our time.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. Yes.
Because that's what you kept saying, 11:46, and I'm thinking, I would have been gone and working and whatever, and I do remember that it was a morning show, and I do remember when I'm listening and I'm flipping every station that I could and trying to, you know, and calling my family and the whole bit and just trying to, because it really, I can just feel that the way that we felt at that time, at that moment, especially when that towers went down, must have been the way that people up against their radios felt when they heard of Pearl Harbor.
Right. I think you're right. I think you're exactly right. And I think what you felt was it was just unbelievable. You saw it. You had to believe it because it happened, but it just seemed unbelievable. It just seemed like who and how and why. And it was amazing.
And there was the sense of, you know, to me, there was the sense of looking for the second shoe to drop.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Thank God for the bravery of the people at, with the flight that they took it down to keep it from hitting somewhere else.
You know, I forget. I apologize for not remembering who it was. Do you remember the name of the gentleman? I think he was Asian, who was the Secretary of Transportation. Anyway, I think he did exactly the right thing when we realized what we were up against as far as the government. You know, he ordered all the planes to land. Anything that wasn't being held by a terrorist, then that's how they knew about Flight 93.
Right.
Besides the phone calls, but they knew that plane was headed where it was because everything else was out of the sky. And I believe that we've since learned that they were prepared to shoot it down before it got to Washington.
Yeah.
So either way,
there were airplanes in the air, to be able to intercept if that was to have occurred. Mm-hmm. But you know, the sad thing to me, the horrible thing to me is that there are so many things that have changed in all of our lives, mm-hmm. every one of our lives, mm-hmm. since that day, and yet people just fluff on by and don't even realize it. You know what I mean, Bill? I mean, we can't go to the airport and just, all of a sudden you got an urge to go visit your relatives or something, and you've got the crazy money to be able to go do it back east. If you do it, and you do it without luggage, you're going to be frisked up one side and down the other and, you know, get more checks than you did at your last prostate examination.
You know, but here's the interesting thing. It did. It changed the freedom that we all knew. It took away that sense of freedom that we had, and we'll never get it back unless somehow terrorism ends, which I doubt. And so you're right. It has affected all of us in that way. But at the same time, what I find absolutely amazing is, that the FBI and NSA and these people have managed to keep anything else from happening to this country of any significance. And I think that's absolutely amazing. Absolutely
right.
Amazing.
They've been able to stop many things, you know, far in advance of anything being able to happen.
Right.
And then we've been very fortunate that the kind of people that you can talk into being a suicide murderer usually doesn't have the IQ enough to be able to light the shoe bomb or the fruit of kaboom bomb or whatever else that it might have been that they slipped by and yet were unable to, for anything to happen. So those things as well. But I'm just saying that there's all these things that are happening now. There's a big controversy of if you should have to have a picture ID in order to vote. Well, since 9/11, we have to have a picture ID for anything. I mean, I got to get a picture ID now if I get an antihistamine. I have to have a picture ID for that.
That's true.
Any prescription, I have to show initially a picture ID.
That's true.
And there's so many of these things that have changed because of that. And, some of them, I honestly think for the better, a lot of them for the worse. But
well, here's a weird thing, though. The antihistamine thing, it turns out, is not, and so Nancy sometimes gets really bad in the summer, and so she has to buy whatever that stuff is. And so you, even though it's an over-the-counter product, you have to show an ID. They write down your license number. They write down your address. They write down everything on this thing. If you go to we go to CVS, they write down all this information just for a prescription. And the reason is because apparently the antihistamine can be used in the manufacturing of methamphetamine. And so they said, okay, this is what we're going to do.
How many of those prescriptions would you have to get before?
I don't know. I don't know anything about.
Yeah, well, it's quite a few, but, it's just one of those things that it's kind of like a law that it makes some sense, but not a heck of a lot, because I'm not even sure that it's hooked up to the computer systems yet in order to be able to verify that Bill Benica or Mike Loney or whoever else is getting enough. But I'm just saying that there are so many things now and that we're going really when the guy tried to blow up his shoe, then they started having to take off the shoes and all that stuff. And then they found out, well, that really didn't do anything. So for the most part, they've eliminated, I guess, the taking off of the shoes. And there's just one thing or another coming up, and now they're finding out that In other countries, what they're doing is they're actually somehow ingesting the bombs, or putting them inside.
Yeah, they're not actually ingesting them. It doesn't start at the mouth. It starts the other end.
Yeah, they're bringing up to certain orifices.
Yeah.
But, and so how extreme will it be, the check down or whatever? I do know people that used to fly to San Francisco once a month, and now they would rather drive just because it's about a 2.5-hour difference once you figure how early you have to be at the airport and how much longer you have to be at the airport and then the hassle of everything in between. So they would rather take the 6-hour drive than to take the 1-hour flight, because of everything that goes in between on it. But there's so many other things. And like you said, there are so many people. At one time they took a poll, Bill, and there were, you want to talk about crazy people. I remember they're doing the crazy poll of people that said Barack Obama was not an American citizen, didn't have a birth certificate. They call them birthers as some kind of a slur towards the people. But there was over a third of the population that believed that we did 9/11 ourselves.
Oh, I don't get it. And here's an interesting thing, and everybody can theorize all day long, and they have a right to whatever the theories are. The fact that they said the one building that was really not attached or didn't get fallen on, but it collapsed, was a CIA repository. So to say that might have been rigged to be taken down, I wouldn't be surprised. The World Trade Centers, the towers themselves, people said, well, you could see them blowing out. Well, I've talked to architects since then, like Randy Detmer, and said, if you had a collapse of a floor onto another floor, what would take place? And he said, well, if you have a building like that, all the air is going to be compressed into the elevator shafts, the sinks, anything in the whole wide world that's going to the next floor, and then it's going to blow that thing out. It's going to be super high pressure, of course, because you're flattening all that space at one time. So he said that's what would cause all that stuff to keep looking like it's exploding, because in a way it is, but it's done because of pressure.
All you have to do is see the when they blow up the buildings in Vegas or something, you know, for a reconstruction, that they do the demolition of the casinos and stuff. And you've seen that type of thing happens, and you know that. I mean, there are so many different things, and there's so many different theories, and the whole bit. But for people, my son's birthday was yesterday.
Congratulations to him.
And one of the things that happened on 9/11 was that I was so thankful, as strange as that might sound, that it didn't happen the day before. Just because of the only way that I remember my nephew's birthday is because it's on December 7th.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, those type of things, I don't know. I think maybe as you get older that those things don't mean as much until you get to a certain point and start feeling the nostalgia of the country and the appreciation of just being involved in this country. But those are the kind of things, like, you know, to me, in an opposite direction, it's kind of like having your birthday on Christmas or something, you know.
Or 2 days after, like some of us have.
Right. Yeah, well... In your case, I think that they planned it that way.
That's why my mother, I think, was mad at me the whole time she was alive. I think I torqued her off because I screwed up Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, though. Either I screwed up Christmas or I screwed up New Year. I don't know. Maybe both.
Yeah, probably. They have a heck of a lot of celebration before with the expecting of the birth, and then afterwards with the disappointment, right?
Yeah, there's that. You know, interesting thing, when you stop and think about this now, you know how they talk about, you know, the class of 2016 now, what they know and what they don't know, what they assume and what they don't assume, and all these things that are so interesting. Well, you figure, I don't know how young you would have to be to have your parents have shielded you from the 9/11 experience, because I'm sure parents did. But you figure that, you know, a person 17, 18 years old probably, you know, they know about it, but they don't have any memory of it.
There were a couple of stations this morning when I was looking at it that were showing, you know, a lot of the things. I think it was MSNBC had some interviews with people and things along that line. And on Fox, they had Gary Sinise and some other guy, I guess the guy that started the fireman tribute thing, you know. And
oh, okay. So Gary Sinise and this person were the people that benefited this guy I was telling about, this guy that lost his legs.
Right. And they were showing about that, and then they were showing, you know, some of the 9/11. And with Fox, I thought this was really a nice thing that they had done, that underneath, all during the morning shows, they kept scrolling the names in alphabetical order of all those that were lost on 9/11. And, you know, I thought that that was a really good tribute, because of the fact that most of us will never know 99% of those names, you know. They really don't mean a heck of a lot to us. I think that it was, on one of your or Dave's show, that I think it was your show on 9/11, when you talked about the fact that as sad as we might feel or as whatever, the actual occurrence, since we're on the West Coast and that was the East Coast, affects us very little. And it's just the pictures that help us realize what's going on.
Well, and that's true. But yeah, the other thing is this. You know, we can't, the human brain doesn't say, okay, the pain and the horror that you felt the day that it happened, you're going to feel your whole life exactly the same way. You don't. I mean, that's how we're designed to say, okay, let's put this in our background a little bit. By the way, let me thank you very much for correcting my time mistake, because I was an idiot. So, yeah, it happened here at you're right at 5:46. Anyway,
that's all right.
I think over a course of time it does change, but I have to say this. I didn't see this on, was it Fox that ran the names?
Yeah.
I would have to imagine, not having seen it, but I think I've seen it before, to have all of those names, almost 3,000 names, scrolled down in front of you and imagine that each one of those people lost their life. That's just, you know, that would be, I mean, I that had to be very moving to you. It had to be, again, almost incredible.
Yeah, it was. They ran it at the bottom of the information thing, and they just kept running it as a ticker tape, you know, just name after name after name. And you saw what appeared to be family members because the last names were, you know, the same. And just, I mean, so many people, so sad that the only thing that they have in common is the last day of their lives, you know.
They know the other thing, too, is, you know, because it's the government's involved, of course, you're going to have the snafus that we have now. We have the what's happening with the first responders fund that have, you know, suffered lung problems. You have the big issue over the museum, which they said as of this morning, they think they got that worked out as, you know, who's going to be responsible, the state or the city. So they're working on that, I guess. And it would seem to me that Mario Cuomo and Bloomberg could come together on that thing and figure it out. But, you know, it has to be messed with. So it's too bad. I think what they did at the Ground Zero, I think that memorial is, from what I've seen of it, which I've only seen pictures of in video, I think it's very attractive. I think it's very appropriate. I think it was nicely done. The new tower, I would have built two stories. But that's me.
Yeah, I think the same thing, too. That would just to say, you know, you're not going to stop us, that kind of thing.
Which it is, and that's good. And I think that as Americans, I think we can be proud of the fact that, you know, we took this thing in as best stride as we possibly could and, you know, kept on stroking as a country. You know, the whole idea, it was like the crazy guy with the Oklahoma City bombing, Timothy McVeigh. He, for some reason, he thought the whole world would all of a sudden, all the people in the United States would start an uprising against the government because he bombed a federal building. Well, he's a whack job. You know, and obviously Osama bin Laden and his cohorts, you know, assuming somehow that, you know, this thing would bring us to our knees in some way. Well, that didn't happen, of course. So the thinking is a little bit bizarre in both cases, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I feel the same way on that. And that, you know, the amount of resolve at the time, the biggest problem, and as much as I would not like to see it happen, I think that we might have to go to it. If we're going to do anything again, like Afghanistan, like Iraq, that we're going to have to reinstate the draft. Mm-hmm. Because giving guys 3, 4, 5 tours of duty is too much for the human psyche.
I think so, too.
To accept.
Mikey, I got to join ABC News. It's already started, but I thank you very much for your call.
Thank you, good boy. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
This is Talk is Cheap, the Friends and Neighbors Network, with Bill Benica.
Today we've had a national tragedy. Two airplanes have crashed into the World Trade Center in an apparent terrorist attack on our country.
Imagine there's no heaven.
I looked up, I saw the building start, the tower start to buckle.
It's easy if you try.
Oh, God, there it goes! I just turned and ran.
No hell below.
The number of casualties will be more than any of us can bear.
Unbelievable scene.
second chance.
Imagine all the people
come crashing into the second tower.
Imagine there's no country.
Freedom itself was attacked this morning.
It isn't hard to do.
By a faceless coward.
Nothing to kill or die for.
And freedom will be defended. Make no mistake.
No religion too.
The United States will hunt down and punish those responsible.
Imagine all the people.
For these cowardly acts.
Living life in peace.
We will do whatever is necessary to protect America.
You may say I'm a dreamer.
They shook the ground in the Capitol. We're running.
When you fly into New York, you see the Twin Towers.
I hope someday you join us.
And that they're just gone from the earth.
And the world.
This mass terrorism, it is perpetrated by fanatics who are utterly indifferent to the sanctity of human life.
Wonder if you can.
And we, the democracies of this world, are going to have to come together.
No need for greed or hunger.
To fight it together.
National Guard units are out. Washington is shut down.
Brotherhood of man.
Airports in the U.S. and Canada are closed.
Imagine all.
Still uncountable.
Sharing all the world
is also unimaginable.
There was no warning.
You may say I'm a dreamer.
I ask the American people to join me in saying a prayer.
But I'm not the only one.
For the victims and their families.
I hope someday you'll join us.
The resolve of our great nation is being tested. Make no mistake, we will show the world that we will pass this test. God bless.
Yeah, Bill Benega, this is 1340 KYNS, Talk is Cheap. And right now it's 10 minutes after the hour, 1 o'clock, and I thank you for joining me today. I want to tell you about Eidler's and their great, great sleep shop, and they got the Tempur-Pedic mattresses going on there, and it's the most recommended mattress in the whole wide world. And I tell you what, you test drive one of those guys, and you'll know why. And I don't own one yet, but I will say this: anyone that I know that has had one or has one rather, they rave about the thing for sure, and so it's really cool. The other neat thing about Tempur-Pedic is they have what's called Ergo thingy, and you can get an adjustable bed so that this back comes up. So imagine watching television, your feet are up, your back's help. Sorry, reading, whatever it may be. Crossword puzzles, whatever you like to do in bed, at a funny angle. I mean, you can do it. So anyway, that's what you got going on for yourself there at Eidler's. They have the 20-year warranty on some of the beds. They have a whole slew of stuff. Plus, they have you can get and this is kind of a side light here, but they have besides Beautyrest and Posturepedic. They also have what's called advanced performance linens, six colors, and premium Prima and Egyptian cottons, and assorted pillows, too. They have all of that at Eidler's, right in the great location, 189 Cross Street, where Short Street and Cross Street cross over there in the corner, and just a little bit away from the appliance store. Eidler's has been around since 1954, doing all kinds of great things for everybody, and they continue to do so with this wonderful sleep shop. So you can stop by, say hi to Cody. And test drive a bed today. I think you'll be really glad you did it, Eidler's. All right, test drive the thing. Well, in a world gone mad, this is just a headline. I don't need to go further than this on this headline. It says pole dancing classes for kids. Okay. And then here was a thing. Oh my God, I forget where this was, but. Let me see if I can find out. It's a visual. That's all right. I think this will be okay because I think you'll understand what it's all about just to hear it. In a sec.
When I forget to record my shows, it makes me feel stupid. I don't like feeling stupid because I'm crazy smart. I can do math and stuff. I'm so smart, I got the Hopper, the whole home HD DVR from Dish. It's got a thing where I can automatically record all four networks and save them for 8 days. I don't know how it works, but that doesn't mean I'm not smart, because I am. I'm wicked smart.
What's the capital of Maine?
Kennebunkport. My grandmother lives there.
If anyone understands how stressful potty training can be, it's mother of three, Kimberly Decker. In fact, she just finished potty training her little boy, Rowan, and couldn't leave her house for several days during the process. That's why she was so shocked at what she witnessed Tuesday at the Thanksgiving Point Deli.
I noticed that this lady was having her two twins, two little girls about 2.5 years old, sitting on what I thought were booster seats.
But after doing a double take, she realized those weren't booster seats. They were child porta potties.
She had to undo the jumpsuits and take them all the way down. So they were completely nude with the jumpsuits down to their ankles, just eating their chicken nuggets, sitting on little toddler potties.
Kimberly snapped a picture on her cell phone while she and a friend stared in awe.
The more you thought about it, the more unappetizing everything looked around me. I was like, this is not okay. Like, we're eating. There was a business meeting with about 5 or 6 businessmen going on right next to me. The place was packed.
Thanksgiving Point received several complaints from patrons. A spokeswoman says their staff didn't realize what was going on among the crowd until it was already over, but she says they would have asked the mother to leave.
I think state and local health codes were probably an issue, as well as, you know, just social norms.
You think? Holy cow. All right. And the staff didn't notice two little kids sitting on porta potties. Okay, well, yeah, you know, you get busy. It's hard to notice everything sometimes, so I'll defer to that. Okay. Other things are happening. In a world gone completely. Here's a picture on the Tribune on the front page of the paper. They had a picture of that airplane that ditched in the ocean, and it was on its side. So even though it has pontoons, you know, I mean, it had kind of crashed, landed in the ocean, and there it was on its side and it was sinking. So anyway, luckily those people were all right. All right, guess what's going to happen in Paso Robles, Paso? Guess what's going to happen for you? You're going to get some overdue repairs on your streets. They're actually going to hire a couple of temporary workers to put some goo in the potholes and whatnot. They're not going to repave everything and make it really worthwhile, but they're going to, you know, at least put some stuff in the holes, you know, and paint curbs and seal some of the cracks and whatnot. So that's good news for Paso, because they've needed that for quite some time. There's other places that also need it, but Paso, I know that a lot of people write letters and say, when are you going to fix our whole streets? You know, we got holes in the streets that are like sinkholes. All right, there was something else in here I wanted to tell you about. It had to do with a person. I'm trying to remember who it was. Well, today, or yesterday, I guess it started, you have Katie Kirk has a talk show. Ricky Lake has a talk show. Jeff Probst, is how you say his name? He has a talk. Everybody in the whole world's got a talk show on TV. So it's just it's the happening thing, I guess. Anyway, and there's this, can I just tell you that it's not an issue to me? Can I just tell you that it's not? But it could be to you, and that's okay. The big talk today on the TV was that Jessica Simpson gained quite a bit of weight when she was pregnant. No reaction, huh? Okay, I didn't either. I was like, yeah, fine, whatever. Good. Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively. Who I think I saw for the first time. I don't know. I didn't know who Blake Lively was. I think I saw her the other day for the first time. Anyway, they got married in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina on Sunday. They both starred in last year's Green Lantern, which is how these things happen. You know? And then it was Lively's first marriage. Reynolds was previously wed to Scarlett Johansson. Hard to look at. Hey, you know, they had another picture in the paper that makes me wonder about something. Here's a guy cleaning his fish on Port St. Louis, and all the pelicans are hanging around. So I don't know the answer to this. Did the pelicans continue to hang around after all the whales and everything left? Do they still have lots of pelicans down there? Because they didn't always have a lot of pelicans, not like I saw. I mean, there was nothing, you've never seen anything like what was going on if you were there 2 weeks ago. I just don't think it's ever happened before. It was just absolutely amazing. There's a job fair coming to Paso besides the street repairs, and that's going to be at the event center. And I'm sorry, I totally am wrong about that. It's going to be the Paso Robles Inn Grand Ballroom behind the inn. And if you're at the Pass Robles Inn, order steak because their steaks are excellent. Excellent. Okay. I just like to tell you that. Anyway, so the details on job fair, there's a woman named Karen Christensen who you can contact at kchristensen@prcity.com. Yeah, you're going to remember that. Okay. More than 40 job seekers attend a similar event at the Job Seekers Academy at the Paso Robles Library on Thursday. Shoreline Workforce Development, a division of Global Industry, hosts the full-day academy. Here's the interesting thing about job fairs and stuff like that. You know, we don't have a lot of manufacturing on the Central Coast. We have private firms, you know, that do some stuff. And mostly at these job fairs, you know, the people from Target are there and the people from Walmart are there. But that's mostly what I see. And then sometimes a city representative is there that says, we don't have any openings right now, but I'm glad you could stop by. At least that's been my experience with them. But I don't know, maybe people get jobs from them. I have no idea. I didn't think so. But maybe. All right. Overnight parking is the topic of a workshop today, tonight, and the Slow City Library discussed the city's plans to create a new ordinance to control recreational vehicle parking on public streets. So it's going to get to see what they're going to do now. See what's coming. Now, they did refund people their money as of the first of the year that got ticketed as a settlement that was made, an out-of-court settlement, but they still want to rewrite the ordinance. And you know what's interesting about this? I don't know what we pay for signage in San Luis Obispo, but it all of a sudden occurred to me that, you know, with the new fees and stuff on Sundays, well, they had to put up new signs all over the place. I don't know how much that costs, but it has to be expensive, I would think, because there was new signs. I noticed them this when we went down to Imo Nari. People staring at the meters, going, "Do I need to put money in this thing? What is the deal on it?" Okay, now there was where was the story? Oh, I know what. Is it 9/11? Is it it is at the World Trade Center site. Let me see if it's here. I don't know where I saw it. But anyway, apparently some group wants to put up a cross at the 9/11 site, and the atheists are not happy about that. See, the atheists, here's what's weird. The atheists don't have a symbol. So if everywhere you go there's nothing, you know, that's the atheists of that they're getting their wish. You know, like you go to our airport, you don't see any crosses, you don't see, so it must be an atheist thing. So anytime you don't see a cross or a menorah or something like that, then it's atheist. So I'm thinking right now, I got a surprise visitor today. How fun. Paul, the Joe Jacobus, is right here with me. Go ahead and sit down, Paul. How you been, man?
Been good. Real good.
You look good.
Thank you.
You know, for a guy your height and weight, you're doing pretty good, I think.
For a guy my what?
You know, you're doing okay. Paul is a, Paul, did you just stop by just to say hi?
Yeah, essentially. You know, we talked yesterday, and I just called your house.
Yeah, you told me you weren't coming by.
Right, exactly. I changed my mind. Well, I called Nancy, and I called the house, and she said, well, Bill would love to see you. She
was
right,
wasn't she? Paul, I'm not saying this just to say it. Paul's one of my favorite people. He always has been. No, he has been. So anyway, I'm glad to have you here. What are you looking for?
I'm good. Okay.
See, Paul has been in this business, so he understands the headphone operation and all that stuff, whereas most people just ignore it, you know.
Well, you know, we used to work in this building, as you know. Right in this
office. I didn't know that.
A different station, obviously.
Well, who was it?
It started with a K. It's four letters. It's US 98 and KGEN used to be in here.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not making that up.
I knew US 98 was here, but K-Jug was here too.
Yeah, well, they morphed into K-Jug, so yeah, that was it.
Oh, that's right, yeah. They did morph into K-Jug. Yeah. Now, what were you doing? Were you DJing?
I did mostly news stuff.
Oh, news stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you were the news guy. You were the news guy for US 98.
Yeah, for a little while with Carol Meyer. Remember Carol Meyer?
Vaguely.
Oh, okay.
I did know this. Can I, and I say this honestly, Dick Mason, who owned US 98, right. We were talking one day, and he said, you know, Bill, I could never hire you. And I go, why is that? He says, because you're not boring enough.
Seriously? Well, he hired
that's what
me.
He said. That's what he said. No, but that's what he said. Because I guess he felt that what he and Carol Meyer did was just no big stroke, you know, it was just kind of yak. Yeah. It was a weird thing that he said to me. But anyway, he goes, you know, you're not boring enough. Anyway, but Dick was different anyway.
By the way, I think you're plenty boring.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And so I've excelled at what he thought I should try to excel at, and I'm here. Paul works for I always call it the blood bank. What's it actually called?
No, that's correct. United Blood Services.
United Blood Services.
Not allowed to talk too much.
No, we're
about
not going
to
talk about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Paul works for them now. My wife said to tell you that you were the best manager at McClintock's ever.
Oh,
she said
nice.
That. Then she wouldn't. She doesn't throw out them compliments unless she means it. I'll tell you
very
that.
Very nice. Sir.
Anyway, I didn't know.
The competition wasn't that great.
I didn't know that you were a manager. I thought you just cooked.
I have a long history in McClintock's. I did cook for a while. I started as a dishwasher. Did you look at the clock to tell me? You determine whether whether I have enough time for this story. I get that a lot.
It's just a habit, you know.
Yeah, that's right. I started as a dishwasher, and then I did cook for about 3 or 4 years. Then I quit. Went into radio for a while. Radio didn't work out real well. And then I went back to McClintock's and worked as a cook for a little while and then was promoted to a manager and then ultimately was a personnel director. I'm starting to talk fast like you do.
Well, that's just right. That's right. You were the personnel guy.
Yeah, for a while.
And then why'd you leave that for?
You know, Bill, it was time. I worked at McClintock's for 12 years. And no, it was just, you know, it was
yeah.
just time.
Yeah.
And they seemed to survive.
Same old faces, you know. That kind of thing. Anyway, that's interesting. Now, Paul, you taught at Cuesta College. You taught, my guess is Paul Jacobus, by the way, of the Jacobus family of the area. And so you taught at Cuesta. You taught radio and TV.
Correct. More radio than TV. But yeah, a little bit, yeah.
And now what happened with that job? You're kind of an itinerant misfit, you know what I'm saying, the way things are going.
I am. You're right. You couldn't be more accurate. I did that for a few years. It was a little challenging. It was a little tough over there. And radio had changed so much. I wasn't really sure, to be really honest, what we were training the students to do, because there weren't that many jobs in radio for which we were training them. And I felt like, I'm not so sure about this. So
what were you training them to do?
DJ stuff. We actually had turntables, and we'd teach them how to queue up records. And I think we did I really do think we did a good job. I started to say great, but I mean, I think we did a really good job. We were competent. I think a lot of students, some of them went on to have careers in broadcasting. And so I think we did well.
Right.
But I'm just not sure. At that point, it was time for me to move.
I always thought it was weird, I got to tell you the truth, and God rest his soul, Mr. Ed Zucchelli. But I always thought it was weird that Cal Poly, you know, KCPR is attached to the journalism department. And yet when the kids DJ there, nobody's doing news. I mean, nobody goes to KCPR to do news, really.
In the old days, we did. I did. I went there for. Yeah, there were Kevin Riggs or a couple guys, Dave Curley, who does this on ABC News or CBS News. And, you know, there were a few.
But you were thinking of doing news.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what it was for. That was at that time with Andre Zucchelli. That was the purpose. As I understood it, it was the lab for the journalism students. That was its original purpose. That's what I heard.
Really? Now, that may be. But it became just, everybody played some kind of music or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was interesting. Yeah. It just brought something else to mind that I forgot because I'm at that age now. Mm. So I don't worry about it after I forget it. So it doesn't matter.
Worrying doesn't help anything.
It doesn't. Nothing helps. Nothing helps at all. Anyway, now you've been at United Blood Services for how long?
6 years.
6 years.
Yeah.
Well, you actually hang in places for a while. Yeah. You know, that's good for you. I get fired every couple of years, you know, so I
No, you've
I,
been
I,
here
I
a long time.
No, I haven't been here that long. I've been here 3-4 years. What is it?
Oh, really?
Yeah. November, I'm going to say the 15th because I have no idea what day it really is, but November will be my 35th anniversary here in San Luis Obispo.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think I'll...
celebrate?
Buy a cupcake or something. Okay. No, something exciting.
I still have a coffee cup with that says Talk is Cheap on it from your
you do?
40th birthday? Maybe 50th? Maybe
50th.
I don't know.
Let's see. 50. I think it was 50th. Yeah, my 50th
sure
birthday.
Okay.
Yeah, my 50th birthday.
Okay.
Yeah, we had coffee cups.
Yeah.
And then we had a big. Were you at the do or did you just at the cup?
No, at the thing at the place. Yeah. Down at
Port San Luis.
Yeah, there you go.
That was a surprise. My wife almost never forgave me because I was so mad at my wife in the car. Oh, I was mad.
On the way there?
Yes, because she had concocted this real formal-looking invitation with black ribbons on it and all this thing to go to a Christmas party somewhere.
Right.
And so, but it was like way down in South County somewhere. And so on the way... we're late to begin with. I don't realize what's going on, of course. So we're late to begin with. We get in the car, and she says, oh, my friend from Bakersfield is staying in Pismo and wants to meet us out at Port San Luis, you know, Old Port Inn, for a cocktail. I go, are you completely out of your mind? We're not even going to make it to this dinner. We're going. The dinner will be over by the time we get there. We can't drive all the way out there. Anyway, she said, I told her we would, you know. I was fit to be tied.
Then
and
you get
so
there.
she's trying to keep a straight fit. So I go in, and not only that, there's a car in front of me. I know it's a double yellow line, but I was just – so there's a car in front of me. I'm like, God dang it. So I went around the car because it was going slow and just said, to heck with it. It turns out later that was my brother.
Oh,
but
I didn't notice.
No, I didn't notice.
That's funny.
So we get to the thing, and so they're not there. The Bakersfield people are not downstairs. And I go, what? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Yeah. And so, because I had to rent a tuxedo.
Seriously?
I was in a tuxedo, remember? No, you don't remember that. But I was in a tuxedo.
No, okay.
So anyway, she says, well, maybe they're upstairs. I go, they're not upstairs. Nobody's upstairs.
I know. You're really mad. You're fuming.
Oh, you have no idea. You have no idea. And I have to admit, when I hit the top of those stairs, I have never been so surprised in my entire life. That was a good surprise party. And somehow, how many people were there? A lot.
I was thinking the place was pretty full.
It was full. But somehow, nobody spilled the beans. Nobody gave me any indication that this was happening, so that was really quite amazing.
She did a good job.
Yeah, she still hasn't forgiven me for it, though. I don't blame her because I was really a jerk. But anyway, it was a lot of fun there. All right, now, I've told the story about Paul Jacobus cooking at McClintock's, and you taking me back to the kitchen that time, and I thought I'd gone to Hades. I thought, this is Lucifer's domain here. It was just I was so surprised at how small the grill was, how many guys were squished into it cooking. I don't know what I expected would be back there, but that wasn't what I saw.
Yeah. I think you were in the old kitchen, too, and that was that room. That kitchen was really small, not a whole lot. Well, it was a whole lot bigger than this. But it was really tiny. It was just a three-man line, and there was just the barbecue pit, I'm sure, and then the middle guy, that was me, and then the guy that did potatoes and bread, and that was it. And we would crank out 500, 600, sometimes 700 dinners a night through there. It was
wow.
I think that might be why I quit. Now that
Wow. Yeah, McClintock's was just nuts. That's why when I remember I was talking to Bruce or Toon, I forget which one of them, but when they added the five tables on the front, they just added that. I said, why would you bother to do that? This is when they serve lunch and dinner.
Yeah.
And they said, well, if we turn those tables like we should, that's worth $250,000 right there.
Yeah.
I was like, say what? Okay, I know why you put five tables in the front. Anyway, that was amazing.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to ask you a secret. I know you don't want to go back to your cooking days, but I got to ask you this. How do you keep track of when you've got 50 steaks on a grill? Uh-huh. How do you keep track of which one's doing what at what time?
Sometimes you forget. generally, I remember there was a hot side of the grill and the cooler side, and you'd fire everything up more on the hot side, and then if things got a little out of one steak got a little ahead of the other, you'd pull it over to the cooler side. I guess it was just it's like a puzzle, and you just remember
know how to do it.
And but don't get me wrong, there were plenty of times when you'd be completely lost. I mean, not completely lost, but confused, and you think, well, was that 10 ounce really for this guy? And then sometimes you'd say, well, I'll switch it,
Here's what's interesting is older people like to eat meat well done.
Yeah,
you know, the old generation. That's because they didn't have refrigeration or something. They just had meat hanging around in the garage, and it tasted kind of funny or something. I don't know. So they always make sure. And actually, Norm Galloway, who owned Slow Roasted Coffee, he had worked in a butcher shop. And he said, there is no way in the world I will not eat a piece of meat that's not cooked to death. And that's how he was. And so when we'd go out to dinner, I'd say, I know you're going to ruin his, but don't ruin mine in the process. I want mine medium rare, but just go ahead and ruin his.
He wanted his cooked all the way through because he was concerned about
health and
health.
Yeah, but he was. But I think older people tend to do that more. Now, when I was back east, I'll tell you this. I never knew there was such a thing as medium rare. I didn't know there was any medium.
It was all well done?
Back east, everything was well done. Pot roast, hamburgers, I don't care what it was they cooked. It was all completely tasteless and nasty.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah,
yeah, it was really
like leather.
Bad. It was really bad. I couldn't believe the first time I had a steak that wasn't cooked that way at how wonderful it tasted.
Has some flavor to it.
Because I didn't have any. I didn't like steak. I didn't like hardly any meat because it was burnt. It was killed.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break and come back and talk to Paul some more on 1340 KYNS, your news station. I'm Bill Benica, thanking you for joining me today.
Can I permanently lose my hearing from exposure to loud noise? Yes. Permanent hearing loss can result from prolonged exposure to loud music over 85 decibels, such as lawnmowers, power tools, blenders, and hair dryers, which are around 90 decibels and are dangerous for longer than 30 minutes. 30 million Americans have hearing loss. 1 in 3 develop their hearing loss as a result of exposure to noise. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Karen Scott Hearing Aids and Audiology.
So, Mr. Garrison, you think because you can change your appearance, you can outsmart the KGB?
Change my appearance?
Come now, your smile is breathtaking.
Ah, you've succumbed to my plan to dazzle you with my million-dollar smile, thanks to the work performed by Dr. Phillips at Swiss Dental Center on Higuera Street in San Luis Obispo. Dr. Phillips is the reconstruction expert, so knowledgeable that Dr. Phillips teaches the other doctors. I called 541-1004 for a complimentary consultation and went online at SwissDentalCenter.com to see how everyone raves about Swiss Dental Center.
Oh, Mr. Garrison, you have proven too wily for me. I have no choice but to give you the launch codes and my heart.
Katrina, you've made the right choice.
Oh, Mr. Garrison, Mr. Garrison, Mr. Garrison, Mr. Garrison, Mr. Garrison. Your Vente half-calf with soy foam is ready.
Oh, thanks.
No problem. And by the way, nice smile.
Carl Benz patented the first automobile over 125 years ago. 5 years ago, in 2006, Star Automotive opened to provide dealership-level independent Mercedes-Benz services to San Luis Obispo County. Hi, this is Brian from Star Automotive. We would like to thank over 1,000 Mercedes owners who have trusted us with their vehicles. If you haven't yet, we would love the opportunity to serve you. You can learn more about us at starautomotive.com or give us a call at 543-STAR. We'll keep the smile on your face and the star on your car.
Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about. Country Oaks, owned and operated by John and Sharon Henning. They're friends of mine, really nice friends, and that niceness shows at their 57-bed skilled nursing facility at 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria. Country Oaks specializes in short-term rehabilitation and long-term care. Country Oaks accepts Medicare, Medi-Cal, HMOs, and private insurance, and will do the paperwork for you. They offer physical, occupational, speech, enteral, and IV therapies, including a fully equipped therapy room. At Country Oaks Care Center, your loved ones will find a warm and caring staff and a home-like atmosphere. All activities are geared to individual needs and desires, as well as nutritious meals and that extra ounce of caring and a cup of slow-roasted coffee. From Rotary to their annual float participation in the Santa Maria Elks Rodeo Parade, the Hennings are involved in their community. At 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria, Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about.
I wasn't looking at it as I was driving towards it. I just heard a huge explosion.
It didn't look like there was any trouble at all with the plane. It didn't swerve at all. It just landed directly in the building. It was like almost like a gray black color in nature on the plane.
Who can say where the road goes, where the day
gaping hole at the top of the World Trade Center.
The streets are filled with people.
I looked out my window to see what was going on, and the second World Trade Center just went into flames.
When I looked over, there was this guy that was on fire, so I just kind of like ran over, and I tried to like put the fire out on him.
Sources saying that there is a plane coming up the Potomac River at a high rate of speed. This would be consistent with earlier warnings that we heard from police sources.
Two airplanes have crashed into the World Trade Center in an apparent terrorist attack on our country.
It was a big explosion. Everything got dark, real dark, like snow. You can see behind me, all this is not snow.
There was a big shaking. Some of the ceilings collapsed. Looks like there was a fire.
Can't say when the day's sweet, if the night.
the sky and you can't do nothing about it.
What they've said basically is the information they're getting from the tower is they're attempting to put down every plane.
And there are flames, there are papers flying out of the windows, black flames, there are flames coming out of multiple floors.
Very emotional stuff, of course, today, 9/11, and you're with Bill Bedecker, Paul Jacobus. Paul's just that old buddy that stopped by and just said hi, so I thought, fine, Paul, nice to see you come in, we'll talk about things. Do you remember where you were at 9/11 when you found out?
Yeah, I remember turning on the Today Show and hearing Matt Lauer and the vision of the towers being with the smoke coming up,
right,
and
right.
Thinking, wow, that... I do remember thinking that this changes the whole world. That's about all I knew at that time. Whatever happened...
Had one plane hit or both at that point?
That's a good question. I don't remember. But it would have been right after 7 o'clock our time. Is that right?
Yeah, because it happened at 5:45.
Our time?
5:45
okay.
Our time.
Okay.
You know what's... And I said this, and Gary called, and he said the same thing. He said what's kind of weird is that we, my first reaction when somebody called and said a plane's crashed in the World Trade Center, first I didn't think it was an airliner. I thought it was probably a small plane, but, you know, an event nonetheless. And then you turn it on, they're showing the thing, you know, a plane going in, and I'm like, what the heck is that? How could you not miss the World Trade Center? That was my reaction to it. And then you find out later on what's going on. Somebody's on the phone. Let's say hi to somebody. Hello, hello.
Oh, hi, Bill.
Hi, Ann. You want to join Paul and me
for
a little chat?
Yeah, you were talking about 9/11. You know, it's so odd in a way. It's like the 10th anniversary, and in an odd way, it seems like it never happened, and it always happened.
I know exactly
what you're
saying.
It's a kind of very odd thing, and yet looking at the photos, which is, you know, the rolling tape or anything like that, it still just makes the heart hurt, you know.
It really does. Paul and I were just talking, you know, during that song. We're thinking about, you know, I mean, what happens in a person's mind when their choice is that they don't want to burn to death, so they have to fly off that building. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, that famous photograph of the falling man. I mean, that thing just stops you dead in your tracks.
You know what's interesting? We bought a Life special book that came out about it, and they show the picture of that guy. They show the couple that was holding hands and jumping up. It's interesting. I don't ever look at that book. I don't want to. Yeah.
You know, and that's what's so odd, because you have this odd sense that this happened a million years ago. You know, ancient history, and yet those images that have such incredible power to just stop you cold. So that certainly tells me that whatever's going process is in your brain is very fresh and too new. You know?
It is weird. It's just really weird how you're – and now that we've talked about it more today and we're thinking about it more today, you know, now it's coming back more, you know, than it wasn't there yesterday. It's not going to be there tomorrow the same way. But today it certainly is, you know, to think about that.
Yeah.
Just
amazing. Yeah, it takes a – you know, and there are some images that just stick with you. I mean, I can see some of these images out of the Matthew Brady of the Civil War that just
– right.
You know, or burned forever. Same thing about World War II or Vietnam. There's certain images that come out that so powerfully symbolize what has occurred that it just, they become iconic images.
I remember one of the images that sticks out in my mind for sure is them carrying the body of the chaplain that was killed, the fire chaplain.
Yeah.
And it's one of those pictures that just is there. It's just really weird. I to this day admire, if you remember, some of the video that we've seen of inside the tower looking out, so to speak, or, you know, at the ground floor, that was filmed by, I think it was an Australian film crew was there doing a special and didn't know this was going to happen, of course. I mean, they were just there to do a thing on the tower. But the thing that I respected so much about them, unless I could be wrong, maybe they cut it out, but they said verbally, the reporters said, there are people, these loud noises that you hear outside are people hitting the pavement. And he said, we're not going to show any of that. And,
yeah.
And they never did ever pan over that and say, here, you want to see somebody splatting on the cement. So I would respect that a lot.
Yeah. They had a thing on some TV channel that was the voices of 9/11, where they were putting together a special with all of the phone calls and the airplane, you know. And it was one of those things where I read in the newspaper, you know, in the TV guide section, and it was like, oh, please, no way I'm going to watch that.
Yeah, have you ever
heard? It's like, oh, excuse me, no.
I've never heard, and I don't need to hear it, thank you very much. I've never heard a phone conversation that took place with somebody in one of those airplanes or somebody in the World Trade Center. Have you ever heard that? Is that what they're doing?
Well, these would presumably be ones that I'm assume were allowed to be public. You know, I mean,
right.
If it were a private phone call, I think some of those, who knows, maybe by now they've been shared. I don't know. You know, if there was something on an answering machine or a tape or, you know, that a family wanted to share. But certainly a lot of that is now public information. For example, the air controllers and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it's still one of those things where I don't need to go there. You know, no thank you. Mm-mm. That's sort of like hitting yourself with a hammer, you know, and ugh, no.
You know, it's interesting, too, and this has to go through our minds, and knowing that they were preparing to shoot down Flight 93 in the event that they had gotten into Washington airspace or somewhere near it, what is curious to me is that, in a way, it could not have crashed in a better place because there was nothing there. You know? And yet, if they had to shoot it down, where would they have shot it down? And then what would that have resulted in?
Have no clue.
Yeah, no clue.
Yeah, because, so. I mean, things would have, I don't know. Because that plane was traveling so fast that by the time they scrambled and could even make a decision, you'd be 100 miles ahead of where you were.
You know what? I've never watched one of these specials on Flight 93. First off, I don't need it. And number two is, it's pretty presumptive anyway. I you know, it's like, it's sort of a, what do they call it? News fiction, news.
Docudrama.
Docudrama, yeah. But there's too much you don't know about what happened there to even really do that.
Exactly.
So it's not accurate to me, so what do I want to see it for? So
I find those too intimate. Mm-hmm. Kind of the feeling that this is something that's none of my beeswax. You need to just turn away. You know, it's such a private thing that occurred on that plane that it, to me, it is totally presumptuous to go nosing in to much of any of that because there's something so profound that happened that it's like, ugh.
Yeah. Do you, the pictures you've seen in the memorial, do you like it?
You know, I would have to see that in person because one thing that, I don't know, one thing that looking at I've seen the special on it and how they built it, and, you know, it's really quite extraordinary. But the first thing when I saw the initial pictures, it reminded me of a bathtub drain. And when I had pictured it the way they were describing it while it was in the design phase, I had pictured this waterfall very gently sheeting down into a giant, like a lake, and then it would quietly disappear.
What does it do?
Like an eternal waterfall.
Well, what does it do?
Well, it goes down a hole.
You mean like there's a big hole in the middle?
Well, that's what it looks like.
How interesting.
You know, a big square hole in the center.
How weird.
And there, of course, it's recirculated pumped back up again.
Right.
But that always struck me as like a big drain, and I thought, oh, my goodness, that wasn't quite what I had pictured, a reflective, smooth lake.
I'm going to look.
Lake with the water going down and then very gently settling into a mirror, and then secretly being
repumped. That's interesting. There probably is on YouTube somewhere. Somebody would have a video of it.
I think PBS was doing a rerun of the building of the thing. You know, but anyway, that's what it looked like in the video.
Wow.
Of the ones that I've seen, initially it looks like a big square bathtub hole.
I bought
a drain, and that just kind of went, oh dear, no, I don't know.
They use the steel from the World Trade Center for the bow of the USS New York, which is a new amphibious ship, and the bow meaning about the front third of the whole ship was made out of steel from the World Trade Center, and their logo, I bought a cap from the USS New York, and their logo shows the Twin Towers, says, we'll never forget. It has different things from the first responders. It has water involved. There's all kinds of little symbolism in this little hat. Anyway, it's quite fascinating, really, but very interesting. And you know what else I found out? And this is somebody always wants to make a buck on everything and how it works.
Yep.
So somebody got the website right away that said USS New York. But it wasn't the foundation that has anything to do with it. Weird thing is you have to actually go to USSNewYork.com is a privately thing. You know, some guy's just making a buck. Whereas if you go to USSNY.org, that money goes to help with a memorial or something like that. I don't know, it's one of those things.
Boy, that's too bad.
It's always there. It's
unfortunately. And then today in the news, the brother of, is it Rahman, one of the masterminds, is now making noises about he wants to talk. Can we talk? One of the Al Qaeda.
Well, here's, let me click on something right here.
I don't think so.
Here it says on CNN, it says exclusive, Al Qaeda's leader's brother offers a peace plan. Is that what you're talking about? Let me see what they say. Real quick,
he's claiming he's simply a go-between mediator, that he represents no one, but he's, you know, the idea of, gee, can we be friends? If you just go away and leave all the Arab countries alone and don't interfere and don't do anything that we don't like, then we'll be friends.
Okay, so here, the brother of Al-Qaeda leader Ayman al-Zawahiri is proposing to mediate a peace deal between the West and Islamists. In an exclusive interview with CNN, Mohammed Zawahiri's unveiled that his proposal for the first time, saying is in a unique position to help end violence, and then both sides need to make concessions. What concessions do we need to make? I mean, I wouldn't understand that, to tell you the truth.
Well, from his point of view, it's basically get your troops out of Saudi Arabia. You're dealing with a Wahhabist, you know, that whole mentality, that very fundamentalist philosophy coming out of Arabia.
Okay, here I got some more facts. His six-page proposal offers a 10-year truce if the following items are met. In brief, they are the U.S. and West stop intervening in Muslim lands, U.S. stop interfering with Muslim education, U.S. to end the war on Islam, and the U.S. to release all Islamist prisoners. Document also calls on Islamists to change their behavior, too. Stop attacks on the West, protect legitimate Western U.S. interests, stop provoking the U.S. and the West. Yeah, that's going to work.
What's interesting on that education is that they finance Saudi oil money through the Wahhabists, finance the madrasas, the extreme madrasas that teach the kind of Al-Qaeda doctrine of, you know, murder and hate and all that crap. So a lot of people have, and many Islamic countries are opposed to that type of teaching as well. So it's like, well, that's not going to fly too far. So, again, it's interesting that he would even show up on the radar.
Well, it is interesting, but the thing is to read this thing is like, you know, I'd like to have unicorns fly out of my nose, but they're not going to, you know.
Right, but it makes me wonder if when you're looking at various Arab Springs and you're looking at moderate is Muslims being elected to office around, whether they're beginning slowly to get the idea that they're on the losing end of history.
You know, they had another interesting thing today about how people are no longer really paying attention to the mosque that's in the area there. that, you know, that's it was
a, oh,
it
was,
it was
a ginned up piece.
Yeah, it was a ginned up du jour, you know, a thing that had happened for a while and then went away. So that's another thing that's interesting. Anyway,
yeah, that was just all right when crazy.
It's a good day.
Know, get
it's
everybody
a good,
all stirred up. And it was
I think it's a good. I think it's a. I think it's not good that this happened. There's never a way to say that. But what is good is that I think as we reflect on everybody's behavior, everybody's reaction, everybody's attitude and feeling. And I give Bush a great deal of credit for showing up when he did. I think it was the perfect time. I think that he absolutely had to, as the leader of the free world, be there and to say something. And so, but I think it's a day. I think it's worthwhile that it's a day we reflect on, you know, not only the sadness of it, but also the other parts of it. Does that make sense?
Well, that attack and our response unleashed a big jar of poison that had been kept kind of under the surface, like most of our poisons.
Right.
And we have not come to terms with that. And to me, the United States had a nervous breakdown and really hasn't recovered. As a country, we have dealt very poorly with this. In so many ways, and so much of the fallout's just crazy stuff that we're dealing with right now. You know, the fear and the racism and the let's go shoot some Sikhs and all of this ugly, ugly poison that just came boiling out.
Mm-hmm.
It's always there. Yeah. I mean, it's part and parcel of American psyche, but we try to always keep it hidden, but we have never really cleansed it out of our psyche.
Ann, I appreciate your call today. I'm glad you shared, and have a good rest of the
you
day.
Too.
And thank you very much. Okay, I appreciate
Bye.
It. Bye. Oops, I didn't get that down fast enough. All right, Paul Jacobus, I'm going to thank Paul for being here.
Sure.
Just it was nice to have you stop by and say howdy.
Good to be here.
It's always a pleasure to see you, sir. And continued good success with United Blood Services, is that what it's called?
Then you got it. You got it.
United Blood Services. All right. I'll raise a pint to you.
A pint of blood. I get it.
I got
it.
Okay. Yeah, something like that.
Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant.
Friend on this September 11th. We'll get together again tomorrow at noon. Until then, may all your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because
this is Talk is Cheap.
The game is over.
The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.
But I heard the people from Junkie. I was upset at the fire and the people still in the building.
Did you?
And I know it just didn't make it. I know they didn't make it.
Freedom itself was attacked this morning.
The second and last tower of the World Trade Tower has just collapsed.
By a faceless coward. And freedom will be defended.
Would you dance if I asked you to dance?
Our hearts and prayers are with the victims.
Would you run?
Some people were going into churches.
Never look back.
There was this girl that had a big hole in her leg.
Would you cry?
She just couldn't outrun it.
If you saw me cry.
You just couldn't outrun this cloud of dust.
And would you save my soul tonight?
You prepare for the worst, but you don't believe it'll happen?
Would you tremble?
And this is the worst.
If I touched your lips.
I was thrown to a window.
Would you laugh?
I was very lucky to get out.
Oh, please tell me this.
Now would you die?
When I left the building,
the one you love,
I just thought that we were headed to some triage or something.
Pull me in your arms tonight. I can be your hero, baby.
A big explosion happened. Some guy came out. His skin was all off.
I can kiss away the pain.
I helped him out.
The many, many innocent people.
I will stand by you forever.
That will have lost their lives.
You can take my breath away.
Firefighters, everyone yelling, run, run. People running down the street.
Would you swear? You'll always be mine.
There's been an explosion of some kind.
Would you lie?
That shook the ground of the Capitol.
Would you run behind? Am I in too deep?
This mass terrorism.
Have I lost my mind?
Is the new evil in our world today.
I don't care, you're here.
That's what's got me most upset is that finally the people still in the building.
I can be your hero, baby.
And I know just didn't make it. I know they didn't make it.
I can kiss away the pain.
One woman who appeared to be motionless.
I will stand by you forever.
We don't see the smoke yet. Everybody can't get back. We're running, running.
You can take my breath away.
People who have been downtown are transporting the injured as well.
I dragged him out and I helped him out of the ambulance.
They lost power, lost lights. It was pandemonium. He said they just rushed down the stairs. Firefighters were there to try to lead him out. But he came out dazed, covered with soot, covered with ash, just staggering away from the building, lucky to be alive.
Oh, I just want to hold you. I just want to hold you. Oh, yeah. Mind too deep.
She was bleeding.
Have I lost my mind?
Would you try to help her?
Well, I don't care. You're here tonight.
The cops took her and took her to Pace Hospital.
I can